Next item on the agenda is public hearing, consideration of regulation 4BAC 20-1230-10 concerning warm water shellfish harvest restrictions in public health.
Good afternoon. Passing out two comments that have come in, one from the FDA in support of this regulation and one from a waterman that works in the James River that was concerned about not having ice, and we've resolved that actually. And so the last one that's being passed out is just a better summary of the other states. We had a three-page handout that was in your briefing, but this summarizes it down to just a one-pager so you can look at it real quick to see how other states compare to what we're doing. As we went through last commission meeting, we are dealing with warm water restrictions to shellfish harvest, trying to protect public health from natural pathogens in the water. We've worked with the Department of Division of Shellfish Sanitation for a long time on these regulations, and they'd always been incorporated in Regulation 720, which is an OSHA regulation, and we want to rescind those parts in that regulation and have established a new regulation that just has public health information in it. Most of these restrictions are being driven by the FDA and their requirements for shellfish harvest and avoiding post-harvest warm heat abuse to shellfish. We advertised a regulation that it's very similar to what we had before in 720, except for we had cut 5 hours down to three on how long you had out, and we had taken ice out of the being allowed. And since the last meeting, we've had a lot of comments, and we have added ice back into the regulation for the James River because it had been working there, and that seemed to be where the most interest in using ice was, and it was enforceable by law enforcement. And we've also gone back up from the 3 hours we had in the regulation to 5 hours from the time of leaving the dock to the time you get back for harvest after the curfew times that we have that they vary from 10 to 12 o'clock according to what month it is. The five-hour restriction does require, in order to get a permit from us to do that, you have to have a GPS tracker, and I got one in case some of y'all wanted to see it. This is what they look like, just a little turn-on device that's what they look like. There, you turn it on, and it's on, and it tracks every 8 minutes your location, and it can be quickly downloaded to a computer.
Jim, I guess a question I've got on that came up yesterday in my past law enforcement experience days. Every device, technological device, whether it's a radar device, a LIDAR device, even the speedometer on a police car has to be calibrated, has to be traceable. My concern with the GPS, and I don't know where that one's traceable to, it's traceable to National Bureau standards, comes with a certificate, what? But if we go into court with a summons issued on a device that's not traceable, doesn't have a way of calibrating its accuracy, it troubles me a little bit. Can you touch on that, or do you know anything about
Well, it's doing instantaneous, just like a cell phone, giving you your time every 8 minutes with a lie long position. And what we're concerned with is that time period from the beginning when you leave, when you turn it on, and when you get back. So the only issue that's actually being monitored on it is from point to point, your time of leaving to the time you get back. And I would think that on the satellites is exactly what you're going to get.
Counsel?
I think the question is whether or not that evidence would be admissible to court. That's my question. I'd have to take a look at that, and I'm not sure it would be.
I mean, as of now, we've been using just a written law that had not stood up for you write your time, you leave, you write your time, you come back.
It was ever easy. I think you need to study that, Counselor, see if it would be before we. I don't feel comfortable. I'm for all of this and for public health and everything, but there's an old saying that a bad case makes bad law, and I do not want officers put in a position, especially dealing with the citizens that we deal with, and not having everything the way that it should be. That's a concern I have with that. So the council will check into that. I hope that doesn't just throw everything to the wind as far as the regulations are concerned.
Well, I mean, we have Dr. Kernenberg here to speak to this issue, but I mean, you can see from the listing, we're right in line with what other states are doing. It is more than people have ever done before, but it's what FDA is requiring of us in order to meet their requirements and for us to avoid getting a second case of Vibrio vulnificans.
Do other states use this tracking system too?
No, there's some states that call in. You have to call when you leave, call when you get back. But they have a much smaller harvesting industry in the summer than we do.
Yeah. Mr. Bowden has a question.
I have a question for you, Jim. You said we're right in line with other states. Have you neglected to put on tracking devices on these other states?
Well, they have a 1 hour. A lot of the states
don't have much longer periods than that.
We have 5 hours.
I have no problem with 5 hours. I'm just asking about, did you neglect to put a tracking device on these other states? Do they also require tracking devices? Or will we be in the forefront of monitoring our citizens?
Right. I mean, that was a concession that we gave industry in order to let them have the time after the curfews.
Questions?
Yes,
Mr. Robbins?
Well, you know, it seems I think the tracking device, the GPS system, is basically sort of an essential monitoring element that allows us to have the flexibility, or would allow the harvesters to have the flexibility to work around a specific tide and not be constrained by a curfew that was somehow rigid or inflexible. So I think having an effective monitoring mechanism, whether it's this or something similar, is really essential to getting that flexibility for the harvester.
When we were originally presented this and we started working with industry, I mean, the curfews were just going to stop at 10, 11, and 12. And this is something we came up in negotiations between industry and us to try to give longer time periods after the curfew.
I don't have any problem with that whatsoever. None of it, other than the fact that I'm worried about the enforceability. Now, there may be, from a lawful perspective, if you agree to participate in the fishery, you agree by consent that's accurate and you're going to use it. That might be another way around it. Counselor, I don't know, but that's my only concern, is I don't want my law enforcement people writing summonses that will get thrown out of court. I don't want anybody violating the law to begin with, primarily, but this causes me pause for concern.
Well, may I follow up?
Yes, you may.
Does the state currently have problems with GPS information in law enforcement? In other words, if you interdict a boat that's 4 miles offshore, catch and strike bass, is the patrol boat's GPS information admissible as far as the position?
Normally, in federal cases, they don't have. A lot of them are consent cases, so no, we haven't had a problem with that. I don't believe law enforcement. Correct me if I'm wrong. Captain Widgeon, you?
There has been a couple cases in years past with crawling in Virginia waters on the 3 mile line where it has come out in court whether or not the radars or GPSs were certified. Who did it, but it seems like we all just got past that, but it has been raised. That's about all I can say.
I mean, Dr. Kernenberg's here, so I think
absolutely.
That's to let him speak the rest of us. We pretty much covered all of it last time.
That's fine. Good to have you here, Dr. Greenberg.
Thank you.
As always.
Thank you.
My name is Robert Kroonenberg, Director of the Division of Shelter Sanitation, and I'm not sworn in. I don't have to be. Okay. We are in a very serious situation here. Our shellfish industry is in a very precarious situation. Public health is important, but our shellfish industry, our oyster industry, and our clam industry is, I cannot emphasize it enough. We need to do everything that we can do to protect our industry from not only another Vibrio vulnificus case, but also from any Vibrio parahemolyticus cases, whether we're talking about oysters or clams, because there are movements afoot within FDA, and we do not know exactly where they're going. But there is also an agreement with the Interstate Shellfish Sanitation Program, of which we're a part. FDA is a part of that, of course. And the seafood industry are all parts of the Interstate Shellfish Sanitation Conference. And that that conference is moving in the direction that with one more Vibrio vulnificus case, our industry, our summertime raw oyster industry will not be able to ship to market. You know that. You also know that it takes quite a while for a state to get one of those cases, it seems. We've had one since the year 2000. We've been involved with other states, one of which was Maryland, but that's not counted against us because it's not clear whether it's Maryland's or Virginia's, but it is perfectly clear it came out of Chesapeake Bay. So if we have one more case this summer, then next summer, under the direction that the ISSC is moving, we will not be able to sell any oysters in the summertime. Maryland will be able to sell their oysters to our markets. North Carolina will be able to, too. The Gulf will not. But we will be sitting on the sideline in the summertime, unable to sell our summertime oysters. That doesn't matter if they're wild-caught or aquacultured and taken care of and washed every day. It doesn't come into play at all. So that is hanging over our head. Also hanging over our head, though, has to do with the Vibrio parahemolyticus. And if we have cases, then we are going to be looked at very closely by FDA, by whatever FDA develops. Now, they may well have to work with the Interstate Shellfish Sanitation Conference. We just don't know how things are going to go. We saw at the fall meeting of the Interstate Shellfish Sanitation where FDA submitted that letter saying that they wanted to see post-harvest processed oysters as a result of both Vibrio vulnificus and originally it said parahemolyticus, but they pulled parahemolyticus from a consideration, and then they ended up pulling that whole letter saying, wait, we'll go with the process and we'll look at what comes up as a result of this summer. All that I really want to say is I understand your concern with the GPS tracking unit, but that is key to what we are trying to give the watermen that work on the tide. We are having problems enforcing in areas how long people are out harvesting oysters. We tried to use ice. We tried to let people use ice, and there was no way to enforce that. People put a 5-pound bag of ice on 4, 5, or 6 bushels of oysters and say they were iced. Law enforcement could not do anything about that. We have tried to come up with letting people have the maximum time that we can under our Vibrio parahemolyticus management plan, 5 hours to work on the tide, but we need to know that that's how long people are out there. It doesn't matter, you know, if it's off by a few minutes or off by a few yards. That's not the point we're trying to make. We're concerned about, you know, half an hour, an hour differential, something that's well within the capability of atomic clocks and satellite GPS units. So,
as I said, Dr. to reiterate, technologically, I have heard some concerns from the industry as well about the Big Brother aspect of
sure.
it, but I know there's probably going to get some give and take, but at the same time, I need to be certain that it is an acceptable standard as far as law enforcement is concerned.
I understand that. I do understand that.
I mean, for example, the Department of State Police, at least it used to be, can't just decide today they want to go buy one specific radar. They have to be approved by, I forget who regulates the purchase of those types of appliances. You know, it's more technical than one might think would even be practical, but to ensure that everybody's fairness and accuracy, that's
well, thermometers have to go back to the same sort of standard, Bureau standard.
So
understand that. I think I'm just... If there's some way, just trying to say, if there's some way that we can possibly work around that and keep that unit in, yes, it is Big Brother to a certain extent, but if we cannot have the GPS log, then our perspective to protect the industry is that we would prefer to have just the morning cutoff, have no harvest after the curfew, except we are able to work on the James River with icing because there are a limited number, because we can control it. We bet we were able to control it last year.
Well, we can't control the tide on other places of the...
Or, say, along the western shore, in areas where people can put out and land anywhere they want to, then you can't monitor. Law enforcement can't monitor it. They don't know where people are coming from. People are free to do what they want to do. So... that would be our preference.
Questions? Thank you, Doc. Dr. Weston, do you have any more at this time? Okay, this is a public hearing. Is anyone wish to be heard on the matter? Green.
How you doing, gentlemen?
Hi, sir. How are you?
My name is Richard Green. I'm a commercial waterman. And as the doctor said, most of my harvest has been in the summer months. It's been upon the James River. And we don't seem to have the problem that the rest of them have. It's due to the geographical situations and the tides, we're able to go to work early in the mornings. And the ice situation has worked very well. We get up, our packers and our dealers have plenty of ice for us. They all the ice that we can handle. And we don't have no problems with that area. And we get in it probably when we finish in the mornings, we'll layer the ice through the, as we catch them through the day, we'll put ice on the oysters. And by end of the day, we'll take the remaining ice and we'll cover all them up and box the oysters up and put the tops on and cool us. And then we'll go to our market. And they're very cold. We've been checked many, many times with the Board of Health. And they've been very satisfied with what we've been doing on the James. And I just hope that we'll be able to continue with the James this summer with the same situation that we were doing.
Thank you, Mr. Green.
Thank you, Joe.
Who's next? Mr. Bell?
I'm really surprised we're not getting any more public comment.
Mr. Mason.
I think you've solved most of the problems that I have. You know, I have.
Say your name.
Finally, Mason Seafood, Chesapeake, Virginia. I've talked to Dr. Kronenberg, and I respect him immensely. I think he's done a good job, but I do like the 5 hours. I'm from Chesapeake, and we're on the seaside, and it's not like on the western shore of James River. We have to work on the low tides, on the rocks. So when the tide falls out, we go pick the oysters up. So we're talking about maybe 3 hours, sometimes 4 hours. So the 5 hours takes care of that. But I know that Shellfish Sanitation has some problems, and I think VMRC would work with them to pinpoint these problems. I know VMRC also just check my people when they're out oysters in the summertime. I've been growing oysters and selling them in the summertime for 45 years now. They had no problems, and I use coolers with ice packs. But I just think we need to work with Dr. Kronenberg and Shellfish Sanitation to pinpoint where the problem is. If there's a problem, let's go to it. Let's go to the problem. If it's the James, if it's the Eastern Shore, or wherever it's at, let's pinpoint and go to it. And I'm sure that you all would be willing to work with them.
We're required. I'm glad to work with them. We're all in the same boat together as far as public health.
And like I said, then again, I know what some of the other states, and I got some, what it is. They got 5 hours, and like Mr. Biden said, Mr. Weston said we're in line with the other states, but the other states doesn't have a GPS that I know of. And like I said, I think last year you caught somebody who wasn't keeping proper records on the Western Shore and went to court. And that got towed out, so I'm like you. I think that GPS would get towed out, too, electronic device. I'm not a good expert on it, but I just think we need to work around these problems and get it solved. You know, I've been here many times and fought for clean water. You know, one guy wanted to run sewage or treat the stuff out on my attributes, and I want to thank you all for standing up and voting against it. But I'm for clean water and the safety of the people. And I know Dr. Kronenberg has a lot of problems with the FDA, and I think some of the big problem is with the FDA. Just 2 years ago, the FDA, bankrupted the tomato farmers, said the tomato farmers, the people was getting sick eating tomatoes, and it took them a year to find out, and it was jalapeno peppers, it wasn't tomatoes. So, I mean, we don't even know if these people got sick if it was a Virginia oyster or not, truly. So I don't want to hurt the industry, but... You know, I think there's a lot of people around Ryan Shingatig that has little small oyster farms and rocks that supplement their income. They're living on Social Security, and they go out in the summertime and pick up a couple bushel of oysters to help out with their income. But I don't think Dr. Weston or anybody brought it up, but they were talking about keeping records. And again, that's another thing that got through that. But to have us... I have an aquaculture license and a water license, but I have a special license from VMRC and have a list of the people that is oystering in the summertime. So if you have their names down and give them a permit for that, then you can pinpoint some of the problems on the other side. But you're always going to have some people that's going out and trying to breaking the law. So I really think your Marine Police could capture it.
Dr. Weston, if I could, or Dr. Kronenberg, do I have information?
Yes,
sir. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
I want to do this, just a second, sir, if I could, please. I want to do this right. I'm very particular about making sure that this is done correctly. When does this regulation need to be adopted?
May 1st.
May 1st. I'm off of hearing everybody has got to say this is a public hearing today, but I'm thinking it needs I don't think we're too far off. I just need to find out from a legality perspective what we can do or what we can come up with. We've got some smart folks in industry and here as well that can figure this out. And I'm just really, when I get a pain in my gut over something, it's usually not always right, but This thing just caused me a little bit of heartburn as far as the tracking device. Maybe there is some legal language that you can put in there that if you could be engaged in the fishery, you agree that this is an act. I don't know. But anyway.
Well, we are requiring to use this that you have a permit, and we could actually write that into our permit that you, when you get the permit, you're agreeing to that.
But I still think we can maybe look at some other things. But I just want to make sure the time frame, because I don't think the time is right today to adopt it. Mr. Tiger?
Well, I don't want to be too abstract, but it seems to me that there are these, if you read about them in the press, these ankle bracelets that I think are GPS oriented, and people are using them to enforce their their boundaries. And so I guess in some ways we are using them in a legal fashion currently.
No doubt about it. I just want to make sure from the legality aspect of the language is correct or whatever the enabling language is there that it will sustain the test in court or something like that. I don't have a problem with technology. I mean, no doubt in my mind that will put you within right here where I'm sitting. But I just want to...
You know more about the law than I do. I just...
So, do you have any more comment at this point? Or just take a look at it. Okay. Who else wants to be heard today? Yes, sir. AJ, then?
Can I speak just...
So the
dynamics also, as I understand it here, is that we had 3 hours, we've gone to five, and the monitoring system is part of that five-hour compromise. So the audience and we all understand this play between 3 hours, one to five, the tracking system being part of that compromise to five.
Right. Yes, sir.
My name is Charles Lewis. I'm from Chesapeake, Virginia. I have If Seafood. I raise clams, and I do help with the harvesting of oysters. As a small guy, a little guy, I don't know always when I go out, pack a cooler and take it. I get a phone call. I got to get under your system with that tracker. I leave the dock to go harvest clams, and it takes me 3 hours to dig a bed. How is it going to work? Am I supposed to click in when I decide to go do oysters? Because I don't know for sure when I left the dock if I'm going to be doing that. That'd be 3 hours doing something. And on the other side of that time clock, if I go do the oysters first to get the timer right, then I got oysters sitting there 3 hours waiting for me to get done doing clams. I don't know about a lot of you, but the gasoline stuff, I don't like running back and forth in my boat. It costs me quite a bit of money. But if they could work that tracker so system, maybe if you got to have it, we click it when we do go to the oysters, and then they would have their time and stuff, and we get them in inside the time. We might be a little bit better. And I'm a 20-year retired military veteran, and to be counted like an inmate with an ankle bracelet doesn't make me sit real well. And I know that's what y'all making this want it be like, but the terminology is the same thing.
The problem that you're confronted with is you're also engaged in what's known as a heavily regulated fishery.
Oh,
that's
yes.
Not obvious.
That's what
the federal government calls it, a heavily regulated fishery with expectations of more scrutiny than normal. Yeah. It's done not from the Big Brother perspective, but as much as public health aspect. So I don't know that much about the device, quite honestly, but it's something we could look at and think
what
about.
It gets them having when they go to their oysters. To click in.
No, I mean, that would work fine. I mean, start at a time of harvest. I don't think we would like to see you go do harvest, go do oysters, and then go do clams after
right.
that and exceed your 5 hours.
Right.
So, but the intent would be that when you leave to go do the oysters, you click it on and you turn it on when you get back. So
yeah.
It would be up to you on how you
Where's this monitor? Where are these things monitored?
It's the same GPS satellites as all your GPS.
I know, but where's the reporting point? Is that thing... Or
you plug it in.
Plug it in.
What's the call start?
You pull off the end of it, and it goes right in as a computer.
So it has its own memory.
Yes, all
it doesn't send it back to a base computer.
Right, it holds about 1,000 trips in it.
Gotcha.
And what's the cost on it?
The cost on it varies between $100 and $300. The one that I bought was... Look at cost
$199. Okay. Mr. Erskine? Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission. A.J. Erskine with Coward Seafood, Bevins and Oyster Company. I just wanted to make a few points, but I think it's really critical to understand the scope of the situation in terms of what Dr. Krunenberg was saying with public health. We're in a situation, like it or not, where we need to protect our industry. And everybody here that's in this room today representing industry could potentially, if we have another illness, not have an industry in the summer. Our options are, if we get another Vibrio vulnificus case, that we will post-harvest treat all of our summer oysters, we'll shuck it, or we'll close the harvest grounds. And FDA is pretty serious about this. And in turn, we don't want extraneous regulations either as an industry. But if that's what we have to do to protect ourselves, then that's what we have to do. And in terms of a tracking device, we need an enforceable measure. And the trip log in the past has not been an enforceable measure. So working with law enforcement, it was a GPS tracking stick that may be that enforceable measure in order to weed out some of these quote-unquote bad actors. Or if we have a problem in the industry, it's not going to be the people in this room that are doing it properly. It's going to be the people that aren't here that don't care about the regulation. We care about the regulation. We care about the industry. So we want to do everything we can to have enforceable measures. So if somebody's identified that did things improperly, there are consequences and they're no longer jeopardizing our industry. You know, we have a lot of development in oyster aquaculture. A lot of people are getting into growing oysters, and primarily that market may be targeted in the summer months. If we shut that down, I think Virginia's really losing not only the economic gain from it, but also ecological benefit. We need to be real careful about what regulations we're putting on ourselves. But to protect public health and protect our industry, I think it's pretty crucial.
Thank you, AJ. Anyone else?
Tom Gallivan, Baker Sea Farm. Thank you all for letting me speak. I would agree pretty strongly with what AJ had to say. We do need to protect our industry. I wouldn't say the majority of my sales are in the summertime, but a significant portion of them do fall within this within the time period that we're discussing. And you know, you have some concerns, which Dr. Wesson did say it is a specific permit for this 5-hour afternoon harvest. If you have Big Brother issues, or you don't trust the GPS or whatnot, then be in by the 10, 11, or 12 cutoff times that are spelled out in the rest of the regulation, and you don't have to have a GPS stick. If you do have to have a GPS stick and you do want to harvest in the afternoon, then in that permitting process, just say that you will accept that as a legal means to police where your whereabouts were, or however, whatever legalese you need to word it as. And, you know, I mean, that's kind of a solution to that problem. I understand what you're saying, but I also, again, agree with AJ that we're in this business and we need it to be protected and we need it to continue. And no one has brought up any numbers yet, but in speaking with Mike Osterling, they do a pretty thorough survey of our industry every year. And in 2005, we grew in these cages. This isn't talking about the wild fishery that some gentlemen addressed earlier, but we did about 900,000 single oysters for the box market. And there wasn't a lot of spat on shell. In 2008, that number went up to 10 million that were sold and reported sold. And based on seed from last year, and there were a lot of issues with seed coming in last year, and I don't think the expansion level was where it should have been, we're going to do about 12 million. So it went from a $225,000 industry based on a quarter, and some people certainly get a lot more money than that for their box oysters in 2005, to about a $3 million a year industry last year. And quite frankly, the VMRC has gotten a lot of people into the oyster businesses last year, which is good. You know, the industry is expanding. So I think you need to consider that protecting something that's growing at that rate, and that you all have also, through excellent leasing laws and through getting some crabbers involved in, have contributed to that expansion. I mean, we have sort of a duty here to protect our industry and protect public health and everything else, but most importantly, my wallet and the wallets of people in the back of the room. So
I knew you would get to that time.
I was getting to that. That's right. So, you know, I think that GPS thing can be addressed in the permitting thing. I'm certainly not a lawyer, but I think that none of us like it. And I think that's probably what I should have started off saying, is that I don't like regulation, and none of us, this is going to make a lot of us smaller guys incur some expense in building some coolers and working within the parameters, and it's hard. But as was brought up in the industry meetings, we were talking about a 3-hour window in the afternoon, and we all sort of agreed with the 3-hour windows. As hard as that would be, it's gone up to 5. And, you know, I think that I think the shellfish sanitation people, again, we don't like regulation, but they are certainly being reasonable. And if the FDA does get a hold of our industry, it's, you know, we're going to lose out a significant portion of our market. For some reason, people want to eat oysters in the summertime. Thank you very much.
Point well made. I'm in Lakey.
Thank you. Tom Walker, J.C. Walker Brothers, from the Eastern Shore. One thing I'd like to point out is what Mr. Kroonenberg originally mentioned in his presentation was FDA mentioned both types of Vibrio as they're overlooking the oyster industry. We're one vernificus case away from being straight in bed with the Gulf. If that happens, it's going to overshadow the entire shellfish industry. Again, they looked at both types of Vibrio. We've had 5 cases of Vibrio P in clams in Virginia in the last 5 years. If we continue to ignore the situation in the shellfish industry, we don't move forward, we don't move forward quickly, we're going to have a Vibrio P outbreak somewhere in Virginia. Because the water is hot, these clams have to be handled correctly. And if we have it, and it's serious, and we will, it's a matter of time, and there's 15 or 20 illnesses on an incident, it's going to go from coast to coast with the press, and FDA is breathing down our neck already. And I'm really scared that if we get a post-harvest treatment process forced on us because of our negligence, particularly in the clam industry, where 70 or 80% of our sales are from Labor Day, between Memorial Day and Labor Day, and I'm not exaggerating here, we're done. That's it. We cannot compete with the Asian markets with frozen product, pressure-treated product, value-added product. So I would really encourage you guys to move forward with this as quickly as you possibly can, and to also direct staff to work with the health department to bring the industry in and figure out what type of protocol we're going to develop for a $30 million clam industry that we have existing right now. We cannot afford to have a Vibrio P outbreak under these circumstances.
I think we're getting close.
We have 3 different production areas in Virginia: Western Shore, Western Eastern Shore, Oceanside. We've got a track record of having slightly different management techniques relative to regulation. Everyone in industry is going to have to flex a little bit to get to an end point. And I think we've seen industry and the health department and VMRC all successfully flex on this oyster protocol we're looking at today. I'm asking you to move it forward as fast as you can. Thanks.
Thank you. Mr. Cowart?
Chairman, members of the committee, commission, I just would like to reiterate what AJ and what Tom just said, and Tom Gallivan as well. But I think we've seen a shift in FDA's position on issues as far as our industry is concerned, other industries are concerned. When the peanut butter incident happened last year in March, from what I can understand, FDA took the position that there will be a safe food source in this country. And we already, in industry, know that we have a safe food source in this country, but FDA says it's going to be safer. So I don't think there's any question, unless the administration, when the administration changes, perhaps FDA's position on food sources in this country may change. But as long as the administration's in Washington this time, I think we're going to be under the gun in our industries to come up with policies and regulations in these states in order to meet what we need to meet, and that is, no more in Virginia. We can't stand any more Vibrio vinificus cases. If we do, our industry in the summertime is gone. We have to resort to post-harvest treatment, which renders the oyster dead when it comes out. And in our case, we freeze oysters, which is a post-harvest treatment if it's recognized and approved. We still have to hold that oyster for 12 weeks before we can sell it. High-pressure treatment is another means. That particular method cost over $1 million to become involved in. Irradiation is another method that can be used, and that's a very expensive method, and not many people want to buy a product that has the irradiation symbol on the side of the box. You know, that's a problem from the industry standpoint. So there are a number of ways that we can post-harvest treat the product, but none of them are really acceptable to the customer. We need to keep this product safe in Virginia. We need the industry to understand it, and we need to move ahead with regulations. Even though we don't like the regulations, we need to move ahead with them to protect our industry so we can continue to sell our product in the summer months.
Thank you, Mr. Coward. Anyone else? Well, I'm very, very pleased with the support from the industry, and Dr. Kronenberg's, I think, is a testament to how well you work with industry. Based on what I'm hearing today, your department, as well as you, we've known each other a long time. And anybody hates conflict, it's Dr. Kronenberg. I know that. He wants to work together. So we will just get these fine points ironed out, get a couple of questions answered, and we'll go from there. I would presume we could put it on the agenda for next month to complete it up, have the vote next month. If there's any fine-tuning that needs to be done, we'll do it, we'll have it in place in plenty of time according to your timeline. Fair enough? All right.
Can I have a question?
Yeah, you most certainly can.
Question I have for you, Jim.
Yep.
And you said, you know, this was really accepted by industry as a trade-off for the 5 hours and stuff. When you say industry, who do you mean? Just large growers, or do you include smaller operations on seaside stuff also? I haven't been able to find anyone around home that knew anything about it until it was circulated.
Well, I mean, we didn't send out information to everybody. We had a work group that was working on it. We had guys from Eastern Shore and from Western Shore come over to them.
So are there small watermen and stuff involved?
Yeah, they were so small, but they're not ultra small. And we didn't have probably as small as Tommy Leggett would be the smallest. He does 50,000.
Right. I mean, I really wouldn't consider him a warrior. He's worked for Chesapeake Bay Foundation.
Well, he sells a lot of workers.
I think really you're going to talk to him. Does it bother me? They don't like gum. I'm going, I don't have to come back next month. I would like to see if you are going to do something with industry, include some watermen in it. Not scientists from Chesapeake Bay Foundation, and no disregard to Tommy in any way. But
well, I've been giving him a couple of names that you really think should be involved. I mean, seriously, you know
you needed somebody from Jenkintech involved, and evidently there wasn't. None of the growers from home. I tell you what we run into. As far as I'm concerned, you have three groups of harvesters. You have the bayside harvesters. You have large growers. You have a few small harvesters. A lot of the seaside is small harvesters. They work on the tide. They catch 2 or 3 bushels. The majority of them leave them in the water until they get ready to leave, so they're not exposed to the air for a long period of time. And Bob was nice enough to call me, and we talked about my concerns and stuff. And I felt like at the time, you know, with Mr. Weston told me it's localized problems, basically. I mean, it might be more in one location, but it's basically a localized problem. So I always feel like when it's a localized problem, we go with education. If that don't work, enforcement. So if we know the locations, we can do that. If the ice is a problem because you can't have a standardized thing where somebody throws a 5-pound bag of ice and a 6-foot soldier, everybody knows that's totally ineffective for anything. If we need other standards, we could make a standard for the ice. You could say how much they had to have per bushel. I mean, there's other options we could do without the tracking device. The tracking device, well, I'll just give you a what-if scenario, and I don't think this will happen, but it's a possibility it could happen. Just say someone who has a large operation. An individual could not do this, but somebody with a large operation, say they have even as small as 10 employees, they send 9 of them out, they push this button, and they go to work when they leave the dock. Well, 2 hours later, somebody else goes out. He pushes this button before he leaves the dock. He goes out and trades them, brings the other one in. You don't know, unless you've seen them out there, that they've been there or not. You have no idea how long they've been. That gentleman would come back in with this in his pocket, no oysters on the boat, no nothing on the boat. So there would be no need to question him. So now you're up to 7 or 8 hours. So you still can have, you can even have law enforcement problems.
Yeah, we're absolutely aware of that. On seaside, you can easily hand off to each other. We are absolutely aware of it. It's been discussed.
I mean, you know, you still need law enforcement involvement. So I really think, I think the things we can do. Evidently, the logbook is ineffective. we could do different. We could have a lot better logbook system. We could look at North Carolina's. Evidently, theirs is probably better than ours. We could have a call-in before you went. There's things you can do. And far as the early morning curfew of 10, 11, and 12, it's fine if that's your industry. You can make that fine. But if you're an individual person, just like the people that Tom Gallivant mentioned earlier, that's from the crab industry, that you've been setting up an aquaculture as a way maybe to supplement their income and get some of them into a different occupation. That's not their occupation. They're going to be doing something else in the morning. And this is something that hopefully takes off and you'll have that many more people in it. But, you know, they can't be underneath that time frame in the morning. Just, for example, me, which I don't have to worry about because the Arkansas project was killed. But I never hardly ever worked on them in the morning unless it was an awful bad day. It was always 5, 6 o'clock in the afternoon, before dinner or right after dinner type thing. And a lot of people do the same thing. I just have a problem. I like to see us do all we can to preserve public health, because that hurts everybody. That hurts me just as much as it does the biggest grower or the smallest waterman. If we can't sell our product because of health concerns, and it goes across lines. If Virginia got a bad name for oysters or clams, it's going to be for fish too. Certain amount of people say, oh, I don't want product out of Virginia because such and such. They had an outbreak. And all this stuff comes from the same water. So I'm just as concerned as anyone over the health issue. I'm not much on Big Brother, even though certainly with the federal administration, it's going to happen, and it certainly has happened last weekend. But, get some people involved from the Eastern Shore Seaside that are small people that's been doing this for 30, 40 years. It's not a new thing. The aquaculture business is relatively new compared to people selling oysters in the summer. And they've always had harvest of oysters for local consumption and restaurants and different things in the summer. So I really think these people need to be involved. And maybe we can work out something. If worse comes to worse and there's no choice but to go with the tracking device, and I'm going to emphasize no choice but to go with the tracking device, because I do not like that idea of being tracked. Then we could have standards of what has to be. I tell you what I could do with this. I can probably take it and beat it real hard several times on a soft object, and it may not work correctly. And then, we're putting law enforcement is going to have to come there, take this off, and, I'm fortunate. My son's a computer engineer, so I'd have no problem. I'd just say, Ernie, how about knowing this for me? But you got a lot of law enforcement people that's my age that have no formal education whatsoever in the computer field. So you're going to have to really take these to someone like you or Bob or a collective central location. I don't know if Mr. Widgeon would feel comfortable enough taking all of these and say, well, I don't think it's a problem, but it may be, because, he's like me. He wouldn't have expertise, so it would have to be someone who had the expertise. So if we can avoid this, it's the way to go, I think. We tighten up everything, make sure it doesn't happen. And if you know where location is, and I know too now, I'm not going to say where, but I mean it's generally in one location, and my first guess was 100% accurate when I asked you. But, Let's move forward and let's get some people involved that's been doing this for 30, 40 years. We've had people oyster in the summer hunting the Chincoteague forever. And I fished on Chesapeake Bay quite often. And I used to tie up in the Nancock Creek Ocahontic Creek, and I tied up in, it's not unusual in the summer for the water to come from the bayside. Nassauwattis Creek, for example, too, I tied up there. It's not unusual in the summer for the water to get up in the 80s. That does not happen on seaside. And, it's apples and oranges. We may, and I talked this over with Mr. Kuhnberg about it. Maybe we could have different regulations seaside and bayside on things. And he didn't feel comfortable with that at the time. He said that, he would rather see us have a uniform regulation. And I certainly understand his point on that. But we could have a uniform regulation. They just different. You could have a uniform one on the bay, a uniform one on the ocean. Now, he did bring up one good concern, and I certainly understand that, like matchup on the creek. Well, you were a long ways away from the water, and it would probably have the characteristics of the Bayside Creek, where the water temperature would get very hot. But along the barrier islets, you know, 75 would be extremely warm. Seldom does it get above that. So I just like to see you, when you said industry was involved in the last meeting, I went ahead and asked people that do it, that's been doing it for years, and I haven't been able to find anyone that was involved in it. So we really do need some smaller people involved in it. And we've had this discussion many times over the years about other things too. We really, and I understand more than most watermen, that one of the most essential parts of being a waterman is having someone sell a product to. So it's not hard feelings on my part. You know, a lot of people say, oh, the watermen are crooked. And then the watermen say, oh, the dealers are crooked. And you got both. But most people are good. You know, most people in the water are good, period, the way I feel. So you do have bad eggs. You got bad eggs on both sides. But let's try to get everybody involved. And when we come back next month, come back with something that everybody is agreeable with. And if we have to give a little bit, take a little bit, at least let's have something that everybody can live with.
Thank you, Dr. Wilson. Thank you, Mr. Bowden.